If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with two guests, and usually when I have two guests, it's usually two people who are in the same band or are involved in the same project, and we're sort of talking to both of them about the same thing. And that's kind of happening on this episode, but it's a little bit different because we have two people who are both releasing separate albums, but on the same day at the same show. So it's kind of cool that we have you both here, and I think that the best way to start this off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves and give a bit of background about what it is you do as artists. And I think that, Teresa, since you're kind of the known quantity on this show and that you've been on a few episodes in the past, let's just start with you.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm Teresa Thorderson. I'm going by Teresa Thor because it's easier to spell for this solo project. But I have been on Witch Police Radio with my band Bicycle Face in the past. So I'm a songwriter, piano player, singer, teacher, all kinds of things in the musical world. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm Devin Gillingham, going with the full spelling on that. I'm primarily a bass player in town, doing jazz and jazz adjacent things. But I've also done some singer-songwriter stuff of my own in the past. And so this record is hopefully fusing those things together.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then, so what's the connection between the two of you? Why is this happening, this double release show? Because it's not that common that you see that. Your records are fairly different. I mean, I'm sure there's some similarities that connect the two of you, but what's the story here?
Well, it goes back to another Witch Police Radio guest, Mike Fox and his band Foxwell.
Okay.
Which we both play together in, and I think that's how we met.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Teresa, I'll throw you some credit here, because I was planning to put this record out, but I had no motivation to do so. I didn't know what to do or where to do it or what the hell I was going to do. The record was done, but I didn't really know. I had no plan.
Sure.
And Teresa, just in conversation, having coffee, was like, well, you know, it seems like maybe some of that pressure could be alleviated if we do this together and split the stress 50-50. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense in my mind, too, because we play in Foxwell together, which is like art rock band.
Yeah.
Each have like very different worlds. I'm more from classical, Devin's more from jazz, but then we both have like songwriting things that we do.
Right.
So our music doesn't sound very similar, but we both kind of struggled to define it, like everyone does, you know, with genre-wise. But it seemed like, yeah, just kind of a genre-defying night, an album release.
Yeah.
Cool. Sense.
What?
Yeah.
It's funny that you just said that, the difficulty of defining the genre, because I'm about to make you both do that.
Well,
it's a question that everyone hates answering, but because your albums are so different, I mean, it's a little become more complicated here because we have two of you and you're releasing different things that are sonically quite different, right? So maybe let's just get a quick background on each record. I mean, Devin, if you want to start, because Teresa started last time. What can you tell me about the record? Like, well, you know, what's the background behind it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the pitch that I gave to myself before I even made it was I wanted it to sort of flow between elements of free jazz and rock and roll, and to have it programmed in such a way that there was maybe some balance achieved between those two worlds, which are the worlds that I've spent a lot of time in the last decade or so, and pretty much that whole time I've frustrated myself in trying to find ways to meaningfully combine them. And so I think that was the pitch to myself when I was making this record. Is how can I program it in a way that it makes sense to try to do both, to try to go back and forth? And so I think that's what ended up happening for the most part.
Do you feel like you feel like you achieved that? Do you feel like that that goal has been?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it came together pretty quickly. Like the initial thought of what that would be was quick, and there was also it was just all following instincts of like I think this is how it should flow. This should be here. I'm not going to doubt myself. And like start to finish, it was pretty quick, and that's new for me rather than being I usually move pretty slowly, and this came together. This like I think it should go back and forth between like free jazz trio and some rock and roll songs, and I think it should be this order. These should be the songs. This should be the stuff in between, and then I was done.
Yeah, who's playing on this record? I mean, I know obviously you're playing on this record and you've written the songs, but how many other people are involved in the creation of this thing?
This is I would say three other guys. So I went to college in New York at the New School, and I met these people there. This was 5 or 6 years ago. Now they're all still based there. So last fall, one of them owns a home in upstate New York. So we went to his house and recorded the bulk of bass and drums. Connor Parks is playing drums. He's a great drummer. Lee Medvin is the engineer and had the studio, and a good friend of mine, Lucas Kadish, is also playing guitar on the record. And then, so we did that together at Lee Medvin's house, and then I came back to Winnipeg and tracked some additional things at Exchange District Studios on my own. But
okay.
Cool.
So it's like international production.
An international recording project, yes.
Cool. And I do want to get more into that, but one of the things that just stood out to me kind of on first listen was, I think it was the second or third track that is just super abrasive and grungy and like I think that's what you're talking about with that, having that rock side of things in addition to the sort of the more jazzier tracks on there. That where does that come from? Like, what kind of stuff are you listening to that kind of influences that much heavier, much crunchier kind of sound?
Yeah, good question. At the time, I think it was like Breeders and the Pixies and all, you know, these 90s, Steve Albini 90s alternative produced pod, that Breeders record, that was listening to that a ton at the time. And then I always feel like I'm trying to make Scary Monsters, that David Bowie record. I feel like I'm always like, this is going to be Scary Monsters finally. So that's always in the back of my mind.
Those are good reference points, I think. I think trying to accomplish Scary Monsters, it's a good goal to have. It's probably a very difficult one, but yeah.
It gives you free reign. Like, well, so the record could be anything. Is that what you're saying? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so then that kind of excuses any further expectations or something.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think the sun called out to me, and now I'm the blurry man across the street. The morning's patient, sure, but I can't speak. I see my plans in front of me, and just take today. I promise I'll find my way. There's talking that I can't recall. Blue man between these walls. The warm spot in my cheek is getting smaller every day. I don't want to remember anything. Let the ice spin.
Teresa, your record, I mean, you don't necessarily have that same kind of noisy sound on the stuff that you do, you know, with Bicycle Face as a solo artist, with any of that. What's the story behind your record? What's the background? Where are these songs coming from?
Yeah, I guess so in the last 5 years, I've like committed to a very regular songwriting practice. Like I was part of some songwriting challenges online, and I ended up just, you know, for better or worse, ending up with a ton of songs, like so many, and they were just piling up all around me, and I didn't know what to do with them. And a lot of them didn't fit in the Bicycle Face world. Okay. Like I wrote quite a few of them at the piano, and most of the songs on this record are songs I wrote that have been really hard for me to imagine not at the piano. Like they just need that piano sound, and it's hard to do that in this world. There aren't a lot of venues with pianos. Like if you just want acoustic piano sound,
sure,
it's a little hard to commit to it. But I felt like just for this EP, like committing to that, kind of creating this dreamy piano record would work out. So I kind of took what I felt were my strongest songs in that world that fit together, and then some other threads kind of appeared. Like there are a lot of literary references. To be honest, that was like after the fact. I was like, oh, these are all my nerdiest songs. Okay, great. And then I had some synthesizer in the album that originated at a little residency I did at No Fun Club with Riley.
Oh, cool.
Riley Hill. So that was the very first thing that was recorded. And actually that the same thing, it was just like a one-up kind of just full performed synthesizer piece. We recorded that like 2021 and we kept it. And I returned to No Fun Club and I recorded the rest of the record with Riley. I added some clarinet, Christina, and my partner John Himes added some classical guitar as well. So
cool.
Yeah.
Sky and you are the cloud. Doesn't it bear asking how'd we ever get so high? But if I am the sky and also the cloud, doesn't it bear asking?
Is the length of time between when you first started to now, is that pandemic related or is that just sort of the way life worked out?
Oh, everything is pandemic related. Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that residency season was just delayed and delayed because of like pandemic related things. We were like very masked when we were first doing it. The end of the record, which was earlier this year. But I think also just putting out things by yourself is a lot harder than with someone else. So that's also part of my selfish reason for being like, no, we should do this. Because actually, I was like, how am I supposed to do this record? I have this thing. So I'm so used to working in a duo with Ava,
yeah,
where we very naturally are just like, if one of us gets tired, the other person's like, okay, we got to keep going. So I think that's just like the thing I gravitate towards. Working in a team of two makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
How you mentioned sort of right off the bat there that these are songs that didn't fit Bicycle Face. And I definitely am more familiar. I mean, I've heard your previous EP, but I'm more familiar with your Bicycle Face stuff for sure. What is it about these songs that isn't Bicycle Face? Like, why didn't they work with your, you know, you just finished saying that you feel more comfortable in a duo setting. Why did these songs not work in that setting, and why do they work as solo songs?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just setting, like the venues that I imagined these being in. Like, Bicycle Face plays and has played in a lot of bars and things.
Sure.
And I wrote these like kind of more, so I guess, kind of sadder, softer songs that just didn't quite feel like they fit in the very eclectic world of Bicycle Face, where there's, we have a range of emotions in our Bicycle Face songs, but I think there's kind of a theatrical quality to Bicycle Face.
Yeah, there's whimsy. It's whimsical.
Yeah, there's a lot of whimsicalness. And we have joked about that we're going to release an album called 13 Sad Little Songs coming up. So watch out for that. Maybe we're in our sad girl era. but yeah, these songs in particular, they just felt like I wanted to be able to perform them solo just because of having, you know, just having that option. Maybe that's partly pandemic related too. You know, we kind of were unable to play together for a long time. So just wanted to just explore this different world.
Cool.
But I think the lyrics are also just a little more flowery, a little more poetic. Like, it's just a different... When you're writing a lot of songs, you get desperate and you try different things. And this was kind of, they're really desperate, these songs. Just kidding.
So you want, the desperate EP, desperation EP.
Yeah.
Both very desperate records.
So with that, I mean, we've sort of established, you know, why you're doing the show together. The desperation is the main reason.
All but, desperate.
What...
Yes.
Who's going to come to this show? I mean, because these are very different records, and you obviously play together, and that helps to sort of bring in people who are in sort of the Venn diagram of all of your projects. But I mean, who's the show for? I guess is the best way to ask that question.
Our friends and family.
Is this a good time to? This is also sort of a going away show for me.
Okay.
So how about that aspect to the marketing? This is anyone who's ever thought, I should see something that guy's doing and then didn't come to do to see it, that has to come to this show. That's who's coming. People who owe me.
Right.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding, Sam. I'm about to move out of Winnipeg. So this is also a show for that reason. Sorry. I guess I didn't need to say that. But that's a tough question. Who's going to come to the show? Fucking I hope somebody, man. Jesus Christ.
If I stand for nothing, where I'm from, we're not talking. There's coffee in the back room, so take care now. It's perfect through the window, where I stand with my eyes closed, and I don't know what to say. For circumstance, I've been writing things down. I'm wild violins and there's no words. The floor could be cleaner, it's been that way for a while. I bought some reflections, phrases cemented, black ink on the back of my head. It's there for what, for what, for what. I've been searching for a circumstance, but I can't write anything down.
I was talking to somebody the other day, a friend of mine the other day, that was like, you know, I don't know what people are necessarily going to expect, but I hope that, I was saying this to you, I hope that whatever it is that we present is good enough or exists at such a level that you're not worried about what you were expecting.
Right.
I think that's maybe the goal.
Is there a lot of crossover, do you think, between the two audiences, aside from family and friends? Like, do you think someone coming to see sad songs that are more classically inspired is gonna then just be like, oh, this rock influence free jazz stuff is up my alley too.
I mean,
I hope
as a listener, yeah, I would go to see these shows just as like an open minded. What are these people doing and why it seems like it's maybe going to be weird? I'm down. So I don't know. I get stuck in that saying or trope, or for better or for worse, of like, I'm trying to make a record that I would listen to. I'm trying to present this show that I would go to, and that's the best I can do, aside from guilting people into coming.
Of course. That's a big sales tool. Yeah. Who's headlining? Like, have you figured out who is going to play last?
Oh, Teresa. Teresa, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
But
she's my favorite.
But I'm opening.
But she's playing
show.
First.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
playing first, but
okay.
she's headlining.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I come on sort of as a desperate afterthought.
Right, right.
The desperation. I think someone who's an adventurous listener who likes to be surprised at music they listen to, I think. But like, none of it is actually that weird. I mean, I guess compared to a formulaic pop song. But I think if you enjoy just kind of an experimental twist and a combination of genres in a way,
yeah,
maybe you haven't heard before. Yeah.
And to their credit, the West End has been very nice about that in their mind.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of saying like, these people are experimenting in different worlds, but in the experimental world sort of in general or something.
Yeah. Well, I saw a poster at the library of all places, and it looks good. Like it looks like they're, what you said, the way they're promoting it. And you're both sort of given very equal billing, and yeah, it's cool.
They seem to be down.
Yeah.
They were down right from the beginning. So
yeah, they've been really great.
Yeah.
I feel very lucky to be playing there.
Totally.
Not only because it's one of the only venues in the city with a piano.
That helps.
If we're a piano album, it's a pretty great option. But also they're just, they're really great to work with. It's such a great sounding room. They always have, I played there a few times, great sound. And just, it's like a nice intimacy.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where can people find these records after the fact? Because, you know, it's a podcast someone could hear the day it comes out, in which case the show is imminent, or they could hear it, you know, a year from now. And by then, who knows what either of you have going on. So what's the best way to find this stuff once it's out in the world?
Yeah, mine will be everywhere you listen to music. It's going to be on Bandcamp. I just released one single on August 1st called The Sky. So that's out right now, releasing another one this August. But yeah, anywhere you listen to music, Bandcamp is often like the best place to support, or you know, just getting in touch directly. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just decided this because I missed the deadline for lining up the release of everything at once. So I think it'll probably be on Bandcamp for a couple weeks, just on Bandcamp, and then it'll be everywhere. It'll be on all the things.
Cool.
By the middle of September or something, you should be able to find it on all the stuff.
Awesome. And then for people who are maybe new to your music and they're hearing you for the first time on the show, want to find out more information. I have a question for both of you, I guess. Where can someone follow you? Where can they find more info, songs, albums, upcoming shows, things like that?
Yeah, well, what am I on? I'm on Instagram at devin.gillingham. And devingillingham.com is still a registered domain and fairly updated. Yeah, those are probably the best spots for me.
Yeah, say Instagram, I'm at Teresa Thor, and then my website, www.teresathor.com.
Cool. And then is there, I mean, I know, Devin, you just said a few minutes ago that you're leaving Winnipeg, but maybe this is more a question for Teresa then. Are there any upcoming shows aside from this one that you have sort of in the future?
No.
This is kind of the big one,
Even I talked about recording an EP, we kind of have some songs ready, so we're taking a bit of time just to get that sorted out. But yeah, decided to put all the eggs in one basket here.
The end of the summer basket. Yeah, I mean, I hope to be back at some, you know, intermittently, but probably not until the winter would be the next thing. But this is sort of this was the main summer plan, I guess.
Cool. Yeah. No one ever leaves for good. So
not at all.
You
not
can't. All. The pull of Winnipeg is too strong.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel great about that. I enjoy. I've had a good couple of years here, after having left the first time, maybe being in not so good of a place. But this is things have been good.
Awesome. And then, do you want to just plug the show one more time, so people can didn't catch where it was happening and when it was happening, we can listen and grab it.
Yeah.
West End Cultural Center.
Saturday, August 24th.
8 p.m.?
8 p.m.
That's all you need to know. Yeah. $15 in advance, $20 at the door.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
respond, asleep or awake. So with steps adjacent and patience, we'll make ourselves a prairie, a reverie. Like a wind.